what I'm going to play this morning, and but we'll get there. Before we get there, do you know what happened on this day in history? We're February 25th. This day in history, do you hear of Samuel Colt? Samuel Colt. He was an inventor. He was an industrialist. He created the Colt firearms. So I thought this was interesting. I always loved reading about inventions. So Samuel Colt in 1836, he was the first guy that actually, he got his patent on the revolver. So for years, it was just a single shot rifle or a single shot, handgun, right? So he created and designed the revolver, which makes sense. It revolves, right? So you take the shot and it revolves and take the shot and revolves. So his patent, he submitted it in 1836 and he got his patent on February 25th, 1836. And, so the Colt 45, as people know it, as the Peacemaker, it was a standard issue for the U.S. Army in the early frontier, and it was known as the Peacemaker. And there's his slogan, and he actually died at a young age. He died at 47, I believe. But he said that God created man, but Colt made them equal. So, you know, because some guys are taller, some guys are smaller, some guys are stronger, some guys aren't as strong. But the Colt revolver was the Peacemaker and it made everything equal. So that's just a side note. So winter is still here, so I'm going to get a couple more winter jokes in before we hit spring, which we're all waiting for spring. But why should you invite an ice fisherman to your parties? What? To break the ice. To break the ice. What do you call a thief in the wintertime? A burglar. Yep. What did the mitten say to the hand? Don't worry, I got you covered. You can use that one, Bonnie. This week you can use it. It was funny because we were this last couple of days. Our son was up at Blue Mountain. They were competing for college. They had a big competition up there for snowboarding and skiing and all this stuff. So we were up there, and he's texting us. He's like, "Did you find these mittens in the house?" I'm like, "Can't you? You're 20 years old. You can't keep track of your mittens by now." So we didn't have them. So he just had to use what he had. But anyway. Let's open up in prayer. We're continuing in Titus. So we're going to be cruising through Titus the next couple weeks as we get through the book. And remember I told you Titus and Timothy are very closely related because it was Paul giving the churches, they're called the pastoral letters, the pastoral epistles of what Paul said. This is how the church is to be set up. These are guidelines, and so Titus and Timothy will be jumping back and forth through. So let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. And Lord, you know, as we open your word, we know your word is truth. But so many people, Lord, do not believe your word today. Lord, speak to us. Help us to really get an understanding in our mind and in our hearts of how important it is for us as your children, as your servants, to be speaking the truth to people. Today, people need to hear truth. Give us the boldness and the willingness and the desire and a hunger, Lord, that the Spirit will embolden us to speak truth in love to people, but speak the truth of your word to people. Because so many times we step back and we don't do it. Give us that boldness, Lord, and speak to us this morning on this passage in Titus. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. We're going to be, we ended with Titus, verse 9 last week, but I didn't touch into it. So we're going to be in Titus, and it'll be up on the screen in a little bit, but Titus 1, we're going to start in Titus 1, 9 through 16. So I didn't jump into all the things that I wanted to last week on 9. But verse 9 says this, and then we'll read through this, but I want to give you an example of why we're doing this. You're going to hear a video and watch a video today for about 4 minutes. Verse 9 says this, because it was talking about the church, it was talking about the elder, right? Talking about a man of God, and it says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. Why? So that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. That phrase right there. And then we found it. I was like, hey, found another encouragement factor here. So for the church, but anyway, it says, encourage others by sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, not false doctrine, not things that tickle your ears, but sound doctrine. Why is that so important? Our churches, which we know many churches, aren't doing that today on sound doctrine. Families, many families aren't doing it today on sound doctrine. I want to play this clip, and it's disturbing. It's a cartoon, so don't get me wrong. It's not like gruesome or anything, but it's a cartoon. But it's disturbing on this is what my grandchildren will be growing up with. This is what your grandkids, your nephews, nieces, whatever, this is what they're hearing now in cartoons. So this is why it's so important, and I wanted to bring it up because when's the last time someone in here watched a cartoon? It's been what? Many years, right? And that's how I've been. So, I mean, my youngest is 14, so I haven't sat and watched cartoons, but I played this at the winter weekend for some kids, and the kids, boom, they knew it right away, they knew where it came from. Because this is what's filtering into our kids' brains. So this phrase right here in Titus, when Paul says, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. The need for sound doctrine today is huge. So I want you to listen to this. This is a cartoon. This is a cartoon that your grandkids have probably heard. It's on the internet. It's on television. It's on, you know, whatever source of media you want to get. This is what our kids now are learning. When I was a kid, do you remember those clay figures, Davy and Goliath? That's what I grew up. I remember Sunday mornings I'd get there before church and I'd sit down and I couldn't wait for Davy and Goliath because I always hear, hey, Davy. What are you doing, Davey? And they always had the clay figures and they were just, it was just really great. But this is what our kids are getting today. It's not coming up here, but just listen to it. Have you listened to it so far? I can go back. It won't play. I don't know why. But if you can listen to what this says, it's all this cartoon. So it's very much like Disney-fied, right? Very much with the music and everything else. Did you guys get it so far, or do you want me to restart it? Okay. It's muffled? All right, well, clean your ear out, Stan. All right. I'm going to just hit play. So this whole story is based on a biblical, it's almost made to sound like this is from Scripture. Very subtle. The deception here of, at the beginning of time, God created Lilith and Lucifer. And then Lilith was kicked out of the garden with Adam. Like, it's just all this doctrine, false, fake news, doctrine. And it's put into a cartoon that's subtle, that sounds very nice and pleasing to, like, when I first heard this, I was shocked. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, now, the deception is going to our kids. So, number one is we've had it for, you know, we've seen it in schools. And we've seen the breakdown of society and what's being taught in the schools. Now, and then it goes lower and lower and lower. And now you see it in cartoons geared 100% towards kids. So this story now talks about Satan, how great he was, and now there's this girl, Lilith, the princess of hell. And it puts him up on a platform of how great Satan and this false story is. Roger, you can hit and go to the other thing then. But I wanted to play that for you. And actually, when I first played that, I was so disturbed. I said, hey, girls, you got to listen to this. They were like, are you kidding me? They couldn't listen to it. And then when I played it on the weekend for the high school and junior high kids, they already knew it. And I was shocked. I was shocked. Because how many people today don't even know the full creation story? Coming out of scripture. Paul tells us, as we begin this at Titus, Paul tells us right here, encourage others by sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. And refute those who oppose it. Sound doctrine today. This is what we hear. This is what your younger generation, my younger generation, this is what they're hearing day after day after day. They might be in church. They might be churched children, but Outside of church, this is when they're getting it with media. And I'm not anti-media. I mean, media is part of the world. That's part of reality. But I'm all for sound doctrine. And sound doctrine is being twisted to our kids today. Paul tells us, we're going to read Titus chapter 1. We're going to start off in 10 because we just read 9. Actually, we're going to read 9. I'm going to read it through 9 to 16. Paul's telling Timothy, or Titus, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he, the elder, can encourage other by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. Even one of their own prophets, talking about the Cretes, the Cretans, one of their prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. And then Paul says, this testimony is true. Therefore, Titus, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupt and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and conscience are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. That's some harsh words, isn't it? Talking about the Cretan people. And Paul kind of said, these people are like this. This is what you're dealing with, Titus. This is how you have to act. This is how you have to go in. This is a baseline for the church, as we see Paul talking to Titus. So we already looked at the need for sound doctrine. We talked about that. The need to refute elders, men of God, people of God, not just elders, not just men here, men and women. Like this, if we're talking to the church, now we're going past, I'm going outside of what this scripture is saying specifically to elders. Now I'm talking to men and women, people of the church, believers. Our jobs is to speak sound doctrine and be willing and able to refute people that are teaching false ways, false teaching. Paul's saying, he tells Timothy that we need to go in and be ready to refute. Because why? Because there's many rebellious people. Does that sound familiar today? It does, doesn't it? How many people we see it all the time, you hear it on the radio. Rebellious people all over the place. I was very sad this past week when we see it, and I'm all for immigration coming into our country. I want immigrants here. My heritage is from an immigrant, but we want immigrants here legally, don't we? Follow the law. Because what we find is past week, this poor girl in Georgia was murdered by an illegal immigrant, and if you're here illegally, are you following any type of law? No, you're already illegal. And we know as believers, we're supposed to help immigrants. We're not supposed to, put things out against immigrants, but we want people here legally. And those types of things, scripture.